Well, how about that, folks? Amen.
Amen.
Well, boy, I love those gospel quartets and duets. And I spoke with them this morning. They just said they didn't need me to help them sing. And there's a very good reason for that. Amen. Well, what a great day it is to be here in the house of the Lord in Emmanuel Baptist Church. Emmanuel Baptist Church. How about that? And today's message is called A Church That Worships. You know, we are to worship the risen Savior in the good days and in the bad. Amen?
Amen.
We are to worship Him in the morning and in the evening, when our hearts are joyful and when our hearts are grieving. And you know, this week we had a couple of our membership go home to be with the Lord. And certainly in these circumstances, Miss Janet lost her father yesterday. And certainly in those circumstances, we could expect her to be home and attending to things. But she's here today. And she's here to worship a risen Savior. And she's here to honor God. And we just lift that up. And another long-time member, Miss Mildred. I believe Mildred Gray, is that her name? Yeah. So Miss Mildred, she went to be with the Lord this past on June 12th, I believe it was. And we received that word in the church office this week. I want you to know that Miss Audrey's been keeping an eye on me in there. In the church office to keep me out of trouble. So today, if you would, please turn in the Word of God to the book of John, chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And all over the sanctuary, if you have your Bible, if you would, please, whether in printed or digital format, hold your Bibles up, hold the Word of God up. Amen. Hallelujah. And turn to John, chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. But before I read from the Word of God, let's go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for this day. We give You thanks for this wonderful place that we are meeting today to honor You and Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask that You forgive the teacher his sins, for they are many. Let him speak Your truths and only Your truths. And Father, today, as we learn from Your Word, let us hear the soft sound of sandaled feet. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so this first Sunday, I'm going to do something that I won't do again after this. I'm going to introduce myself once again. I'm Pastor Larry Brister, and I am so honored to be the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church this morning. If you'll get a hold of my style of preaching, of course. I am very traditional in my approach. I believe in the inerrancy of the Word of God. I believe you don't need to hear from Brister. You need to hear from Bible. Amen. And in general, through the summer months, you may come here during the month, and I may not have a tie on, but I'll be dressed in a suit. But every single first Sunday of every month, we do Lord's Supper, and when we do Lord's Supper, we'll all have shirts and ties on. Now, the reason I didn't wear ties before, and I may change that policy, because where we were at, the air conditioner was horrible. And I had a habit of preaching right through my suit and sweating through it. But I noticed that the air conditioner is blowing like right through here. So that'll be great. Also, I preach from notes. You'll notice me consulting my notes occasionally. That is not because I don't know what to say. That's to keep me on point and for us to get out of here sometime before 4:30 in the afternoon. Amen. In general, I preach about 40 minutes to 43 minutes, so you guys know what to expect each week. All right, so reading from the Word of God, John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. If you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. May the Lord add His blessings upon His Word. You know, when it comes to preaching the truths of God's Word, when it comes to preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, I realize that in my human form, that my speech is too limited, that my mind is too finite, and I understand that my heart is far too small to preach properly on the grand majesty of God. And if you are visiting here today, or you're watching on the internet, or you're listening to an audio CD somewhere down the road, we want you to understand that we are not here as Christians to trick you in any way. If you have not received Jesus Christ as Lord, we're not going to come at you with subterfuge. We're not going to come at you with sly words. We don't have an ulterior motive. We're going to tell you straight out that if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord, sitting here today, it is our fervent plea and our prayer that you don't leave the same way that you came in. We want to get to heaven and to see you there. Amen? That is our entire motive. Everything that we do is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news that God sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. I want you to understand that when it comes to preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, I am woefully inefficient and insufficient in that, but I will do my best to show the grandness of God each and every week. You know, it's only the love of Jesus Christ that can get you through those difficult moments. Amen? I understand this past month that there are those, several just this week, that have lost loved ones. We understand that you're going to be doing some things for the first time without that loved one here. You're going to be going through your birthdays for the first time alone. You're going to be going through anniversaries and all these things that you remember going through, sharing time with your partner. I know that Ms. Ruth Ann and I have been married 46 years. 46 wonderful, marvelous years for me. I'll let you talk to her on the grandness for her. But the question today, as we begin this new journey, as Living Hope has merged with Emmanuel Baptist Church, as we begin this new journey, the question for today is, what kind of church should Emmanuel Baptist Church be? In other words, what is the church of our hopes and our dreams? What is the vision that should be cast? Well, of course, we should be a unified church. Amen? They will know we are Christians by our love and by our unity. We should be a steadfast church. We should be steadfast in the things we teach, steadfast in the things we believe, steadfast in our worship and our service to God. Amen? We should be a praying church. I just want you guys to understand that no pastor will ever preach from this pulpit from this day forward that has not been in the prayer room with the prayer team prior to taking this pulpit. You have our permission to remove us from the pulpit if that ever happens. We are never to be too busy for prayer. But the church we aspire to should also reflect life's ultimate priority, life's highest good, life's greatest privilege. And what is that privilege that we all have? It is the worship of God in spirit and in truth. Because true worship is transformational. True worship of Almighty God in all of its forms, in song, in the reading and teaching of the Word of God, in prayer, in service, in the giving of our time and of our treasure. True worship is not boring. True worship should never be boring. Pastors can get boring. I get it. There are some days when I'm preaching and it seems like I might not be getting past the front row. That happens. But true worship will change your Christian life from the monotonous to the momentous. You want to make a difference in the world? Preach the truth of Jesus Christ. You want to make a difference in your community? Preach the truth of Jesus Christ. Be Jesus to our community. True worship will free you. True worship will fulfill you. Now, the folks that have known me the longest know that I've preached many, many messages on worship. And there's a reason for that. It's because for us Christians, it is so easy to get busy in church. Amen? We get busy with the things that we have to do. You know, well, I need to serve the Lord. And we get busy in the busyness of the maintenance of the church, the busyness of the administration of the church. And we get busy in those things. And as we do those things, we forget the reason, the purpose for true worship. Now, let me set the scene here in John. I'm sure, how many folks have been in church for over 30 years? Over 40 years? Over 50 years. I'm going to need y'all's prayers. You guys keep an eye on me. All right, you guys keep an eye on me. Let me set the scene here in John. I'm sure you've heard this message many, many, many times over the years from different perspectives. But Jesus is traveling through Samaria with the disciples. The Samaritans were despised by the Jews. Because during the exile, they had went into another area, in the area of Samaria, and they had intermarried with other races during that time, during ethnic backgrounds, and so they were despised by the Jewish people, and the Jewish people despised them, and they despised the Jewish people. Amen? And so as they're traveling, Jesus is hot and tired, and he sits down by a well to rest for a moment. It's dinner time. The disciples have gone to the city to get some food because there wasn't a McDonald's anywhere in sight. And a Samaritan woman comes walking up to him alone. You see, she's alone because she's an anathema to her community. She's been married 5 times and she's living with a man now, unmarried. And Jesus asked her, "Would you give me a drink of water?" It seems like a simple request, amen? You know, we've been working out here all week. I can't tell you how much water I've gone through. And it's gone through me and sweat it right back out. But it's been a good chance to sweat around here. But she asked Jesus, "Why would you," her being a Samaritan woman, "why would you, a Jew, speak to me? Why would you even speak to me? Why would you ask me for water?" And so look at Jesus' answer in verse 10. If you're there in verse 10, please say, "Amen." Okay, let's see if we can get the pastor over there by verse 10 now. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." You see, it's the living water that is the fundamentals of life. Amen? You know, we talk about the living water of the Lord Jesus Christ in such casual terms. Some of us have heard that term many times. We've heard it in our church life. And you know, water's supposed to be refreshing. Amen? And so many Christians get to a point in their Christian life to where they walk up to the living water. Picture the living water as this vast expanse of a clear lake, perfectly refreshing, crystal clear. And they walk up, and you walk up to that lake, and it's a perfect temperature, whatever that is for you. See, my pool temperature for me, I'm fine in the 80s. Miss Ruth Ann is best at 98.6 before she's getting in that pool. But most people walk up to the pool of living water and they dip their toe in it. Say, "Oh, that's nice," and they go away. No, Christians, we are to do a cannonball in there. We are to celebrate the living water of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so this is such a tender scene here. Guys, Jesus looks at this sin-bound woman and his heart is filled with compassion. That's how our hearts should be with those that are lost in their sin. Why? Because she can only be changed if she learns to truly worship God. Amen. Truly worship God. How did you guys enjoy that song this morning, "Haven of Rest"? Amen? Hallelujah. You know, guys, I was watching our praise team. I was watching them work together. I saw, Russell, you got some game, brother. I just want to know, I was observing that. Wonderful job. But we can only be changed through truly worship God. I have 3 points today, and in your bulletins on the back of it, you should see where you have some notes to fill in there. First, a church that worships knows the meaning of true worship. Write that into your notes. The church that worship knows the meaning of true worship. Look at verses 19 and 20, if you would. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Now listen to the tone of what she's saying there. Okay? She doesn't know anything about real worship. So what she wants to do is get into a discussion. She wants to argue about religion. She wants to argue about her religion. You know any people like that? Hallelujah, we know some folks like that. They want to make a point about their religion and not your religion, when we all know that religion has nothing to do with it. Amen. It's all about relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 19 and 20, she's saying, "You Jews say that Jerusalem is the place to worship, but we say our mountain is the place to worship. You're a prophet, so you tell me which is the right place to worship." I sense a little tension in the air in that question. Verse 21, Jesus said to her, "Woman," you know, that never worked for me with my wife. Only Jesus could get away with that. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Now notice what Jesus says again, continuing in verse 22. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. You see, friends, what Jesus is saying is that you are worshiping in ignorance. You don't understand what your worship is about. The point is that the Samaritans were positive that they knew the truth. They knew the true way. They were so positive that their worship was the right worship. And they were positive that nobody else's worship was the right worship. Now stick with me for a moment here, guys, because I want to tell you what I'm not talking about. I am not talking about the kind of song that is sung. That is not the topic of conversation here. I'm not talking about the style of song, the type of song. Listen, guys, you can sing a praise and worship song like it is dead. Amen? You can sing a hymn like it is dead. But when you sing for the glory of God, all of it becomes a praise and worship song. Amen? Amen? I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that. We've been saying so long that we can't wait to get back into the hymns. And Emmanuel Baptist Church, thank you for bringing us on the journey. Amen? Amen. And we're going to honor that. We're going to be excited about that. Because what we're talking about is true worship of God. And the world, what we're talking about staying away from is incorrect worship. That's what Jesus said about. And by the way, the world is full of that today. Amen? Churches that want to put on a show. Churches that just want to draw a crowd. Churches that want to do the latest in thing. Well, there's never been anything that's more in than Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing has ever been more in than that. You know, listen, it's not that people don't worship, because they do. In fact, they get fanatical about their religion instead of their relationship with Jesus Christ. I like what Dr. Adrian Rogers said. You'll hear me quote him a lot. Dr. Adrian Rogers said this about a fanatic. It's someone who's in their car and they've lost their direction, so they double their speed. Think about it. You'll get it in just a moment. And Jesus says, what you're doing, you Samaritans, you're worshiping in ignorance. But wait a minute. What about the Jewish people? Don't they have some skin in the game here? Because while the Samaritans were worshiping in ignorance, the Jews had the truth. They knew who Christ was. He was foretold within the Scriptures. But their problem was dead orthodoxy. Their problem was dead worship. You know, Mark 7, chapter 7, verse 6 says that they were caught up in the formalities of worship. In other words, church was boring. I hate boring church. You know, many years ago, myself and a brother in Christ of mine were called to go to a sermon and a dissertation of one of our brothers that was working on his master's degree, and he needed a certain amount of pastors to listen to his sermon. And we got there, and he started teaching. And he had to finish with 85% of the people still there. And 8 minutes into his 3 hours, me and my brother in Christ were tapping our wristwatches because we thought they had stopped. And I said, and my brother said, hey man, let's get out of here. I said, we can't. He goes, no, it's only been 10 minutes. I said, yeah, but all the other guys have already left, man. We can't leave our brother in Christ here. So we stayed. Church should never be boring. In other words, the Jews were worried about how the worship instead of the who of the worship. And that's the problem in the modern church today. On one side are those that are worshiping in ignorance, and on the other side there are those that are caught up in routine, mundane, spirit-killing religion. And all the time God is saying, over here. Over here. I love you this much. Look to the cross. And think of that in our worship. Some fry in fanaticism, some freeze in formalism because they've forgotten the excitement of worshiping the Son of God. Because church, Emmanuel Baptist, is all about Jesus. Every bit of it. From the first note to the last amen. It's all about Jesus. But let me clear something up very quickly. Don't ever mistake a high-energy, exciting service for true worship honoring God. Don't mistake that. So many churches go for the lights, they go for the loud music, they go for the smoke and whatever. And just because it's exciting doesn't mean it's worshiping God. Amen? True worship is all that we are, responding to all that God is, as revealed in Jesus Christ. You know, I worked on that real hard. I thought you guys would be way more excited about that. I'm going to say that one more time. True worship is all that we are, responding to all that God is as revealed in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There we go. Now we're back in the game here. But listen to me. Worship goes beyond a church service. Worship goes beyond music. Worship goes beyond, if you're in a liturgical, I knew I was going to mess that up, liturgical church, candles and incense. What am I saying? I want to tell you that worship is all that you are, responding to all that God is.
Amen.
If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen, guys, true worship is setting aside your routine. It means putting aside what you want to do, not just because there's a new pastor, not just because there's a blended team in place, but because you know the true meaning of worship, that it's all about Jesus.
Amen.
All about Jesus gets you in your church when you're grieving. All about Jesus gets you in church when you're busy. All about Jesus gets you in church. Period.
Amen.
Do not forsake the gathering of the saints. Marianne, I preached my way right off my notes, sweetheart. I'm coming back right now. The word worship, by the way, comes from two words, worth and ship. In other words, worth meaning worthiness and ship meaning movement or carrying. In other words, worship means worthiness on the move. You see, we ought to be on the move for the Lord Jesus Christ because He is worthy. And how, when you show me how you worship, I'll show you what God is worth to you. You see, you worship in spirit and truth. Your worship displays what you think of God. It means putting aside what we want to do because we all know the true meaning of worship. Point number one, a church that worships knows the meaning of true worship. Point number two, true worship. The church at worship knows the motive of true worship. Look at verse 23 one more time. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. The motive for true worship is because that's what God wants us to do. Why do we worship God? There's two fundamental reasons for that. First is what worship does for the worshiper. It gets you out of yourself. It gets you back into the big picture. You see, we become like that which we worship. We become that like that which we place first in our lives. We become like that, which is the reason why idolatry is such a sin. In idolatry, man molds the idol. Then the idol molds the man, and he becomes like what he has worshipped. What is an idol? Anything that you fear more, love more, honor more than God. That is the idol in your life. Anything that falls into that category. But the more you worship Christ, the more Christ-like you will become. Think of it like this. If you had a fireplace and left a poker in there, how many of us up north remember the pokers that you leave in the fire? And maybe the rubber handle had worn off a little bit. And after a while, you go over and pick up that poker. You know, in those cases, it doesn't take me long to study a poker. And you drop it because it's full of that fire. You see, that's what worship is like when you worship in the spirit and truth. When you worship God, it's not very long until the fire of God, the Holy Spirit fire of God, will just light you up inside. If you're getting the idea that Pastor Larry loves the Lord, you're right. If you get any idea that Jesus Christ is the center of my life, you're right. And if you get the idea that before I ever take the pulpit, I'm going to make sure I'm prayed up and Holy Spirited up, you're right. If you look on the screen, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image." How about that? You're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. Friends, as you think on the Lord, as you worship Him, as you keep your heart open to the Lord, you will be changed. You will be changed to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christians, may I ask you an answer? May I ask you a question? See, some pastors like to do that. They like to ask a question and give you the answer. Let me ask you this question. Do other people see Jesus in you? Does the grace of God abide in your heart? Because, Friends, are you being changed day by day into the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because, my dear friends, spending time alone with God worshiping will make you more godly. It will. You must read your Bibles daily. Sunday can't be the first time you pick up your Bibles. Don't want to point any fingers here, but Sunday cannot be the day that you find your Bible back on the pew. And you haven't missed it all week. Listen, guys. When you worship God, you become more and more in the image of the Lord. If you worship in spirit and truth, that happens. Have you ever heard this? That a husband and wife, as the years go by, when they've lived together for a long time, will begin to look like each other. You see, Miss Ruth Ann's getting worried. Because we need to remember the reason that we worship God is because of what worship does for us. Next, the reason we worship God is because God desires our worship for Himself. Did you know that you bless God when you worship Him? You are a blessing to God when you worship our Father. Listen closely and don't miss this. Look at the last part of verse 23. If you're there, say amen. Amen. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Listen, here's your nugget for this Sunday. We talk about fatherhood all the time. Amen? But our Father is not what God is like. Our Father is what God is. Amen. He is our Heavenly Father and He loves us. I thought I'd get a testimony there. I'm glad I brought my own. Listen, we don't get our ideas of God from ourselves. We get the idea of fatherhood from God. That's why a house with a spirit-filled man of God is such a blessing to his family. Men, you are to be the spiritual leader of your family, not your wife. You are to lead your family. You are to lead your family in worship. You are to lead your family in biblical readings. You are to lead your family at the family table, not sitting around the TV. You are to be the spiritual leader of your family. And because if you take away the fatherhood of God, you miss the entire point. You know, Jesus' favorite term for God was Father. He used that over 70 times in Scripture. Now, I realize that there are things about God that we will never understand. Amen? Have you ever just thought, Lord, why? Why would you allow that to happen, Lord? Why? You see, we serve an infinite God. Amen? He is infinite. A.W. Tozer wrote on the infinitude of God. You know, everything that God says, everything that God does, everything that God is infinite. God's omnipotence means He is infinite in His limitless power. God's omniscience means He knows everything. That's right, young people, He knows everything. God's omnipresence, He is everywhere. God's eternality, He has no beginning, no ending. You see, those are concepts that are beyond the human mind. But here's the really good news. You don't have to understand all those things about God to know and love God. Amen. You don't need to understand all that. Listen, here's the point. I love my Lord because my Lord first loved me. Amen. The Scripture says that before the foundation of the world was laid, Christ was manifest to be die for our sins, to die on the cross of Calvary. How do I know all these things? Because God sent the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, first, God wants us to worship, first of all, because of what worship does for us. And God wants us to worship because of what it does for Him. It gives Him pleasure. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Our third point for today. A church that worships knows the method of true worship. Jesus said the method of true worship is that we're to worship in spirit and in truth. You know, Romans chapter 1, verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit." Now, did you realize that the human spirit cannot truly worship God unless it is joined to the Holy Spirit? I'm going to say that one more time. The human spirit cannot worship Almighty God unless it is joined to the Holy Spirit of God. It cannot happen. So what happens? God, the Holy Spirit, comes into the human spirit to help us worship. That's why you can have one person standing there worship, and they're worshiping in their style that they're comfortable with, and it's a beautiful thing. And they're standing next to some happy, clappy person that's on fire for Jesus. And that's perfectly fine too. Because that's how they're working. And both are fine in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so, listen guys. God, the Holy Spirit, comes in. And that's the reason you have to be saved and Spirit-filled to truly worship the Almighty. Listen, folks. There's been times in my life when I had trouble worshiping. It happens, even to pastors. There's been times when I got bored with a message. I just shared my sin a moment ago about the brother in Christ that had a bad message. But listen to me. The problem is not God. The problem in those cases is not God. The problem was probably my inner spirit at that particular moment. And that could happen in any church service. As hard as this may be, the pastor's not always on his A game. Judging by that reaction, this may be one of those days.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't need an amen on that. But when you get your heart right, then a church worship service should never be boring. Amen?
Amen.
But you must worship God in truth as well. Psalm 145, write this down on your margin. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. Your worship of God will never rise above your knowledge of God based upon the truth of God. And that's why as long as I'm the pastor of this church, we are going to preach the truth of God from God's Word. The Bible is absolutely perfect. It is inerrant from the beginning to the end. From the first word to the last. It is without any error in any way, shape, or form. It speaks the truth, and we speak all of the truth. And what is the overriding message of the truth of the Scripture? It's that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
He's Lord of all. He should be the Lord of our lives. Because true worship is a loving response to the Lord of hosts revealed in the Bible, which is the entire reason why we study the Bible. I walked in on the Sunday school class this morning and was so pleased to see our saints in there studying the Word of God. So, Living Hope folks, be here next Sunday. That's when Sunday school starts church-wide. Living Hope folks, be here at 9:45 next week to study the Word of God. Listen, guys, worship is not just singing. Worship is not just the giving of our tithes. Worship is also comprised of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Psalm 47:7 says, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding." You need to understand the Lord. I need to hurry now or we'll be here all day. But I want you to turn quickly over to Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Turn quickly in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12, verse 28. If you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving what he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Now, look at the answer from Christ in verses 29 through 30. Jesus answered him, "The first of the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." No other commandment greater than these, friends. Listen, Jesus said that the ultimate privilege is to worship God and to do what we must do to love God. And I have four final things I want you to just write down. How do we love the Lord? First, you are to love the Lord passionately. That means with all of your heart. Lukewarm worship is an insult to Almighty God. Does God have all of your heart? Do you passionately worship God? Second, you are to love God selflessly. Amen? That means to love God with all of your soul. Be God-centered, not self-centered. The proper mindset is to never think, "What am I getting out of this service?" I'm going to say that one more time. The proper mindset is never to say, "What am I getting out of this service?" Instead, ask yourself this: did God get anything from my worship today?
Amen.
Was God blessed by my worship? If I were to leave here today and get in my car and not make it home for whatever reason, can I go into heaven facing the Father and say, "Lord, I worshiped you today and you know it"? Did you worship in that manner? passionately, selflessly. Then third, worship the Lord thoughtfully. Worship God with knowledge and wisdom. Listen, a full heart is no excuse for an empty head. Study the Word of God. Amen? Study the Word of God. And fourth, we are to love God practically. In other words, with all of our strength. All of our strength. Friends, whatever strength you have, use it to worship the great God. Now, one final thing and I'm done. Our passage today says to worship God in spirit, and based on the truth of God's Word, you can't do that unless you are born again believer of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again, friends. Our passage today to worship God in truth and spirit, and based on the truth of God's Word, you cannot do that unless you are born again. When you are born again, God's Spirit begins to work in your spirit so you can praise God. To be born again means to be saved. It means to have Christ the Lord of your heart. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's right, I said it. Once saved, always saved. How many of you have everlasting life with the Father in heaven? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You know, in Thomas, doubting Thomas, he was the guy that wanted to talk and argue with folks. He says, well, Jesus, how do we know the way to go? What did Jesus say in John 14:6? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ is the only way. Friends, you must be saved to truly worship God. And the way you receive Him into His heart is through the gift of faith by the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not only did He send His Son to die for us, He gave us the gift of faith. He gives us the faith to believe on Him. That is unimaginable. Friends, how could you possibly imagine a God that is more worthy of our worship? How could you possibly imagine a Lord Jesus that is more worthy of being praised? Think of it this way. We are sinners, and sin must be addressed. Listen, guys. We're not sinners because we sin. We're sinners because we are sinners. It's simply that way. We are born into sin. Oh, you say, oh, Pastor Larry, what about the sweet babies? How about those sweet babies, Mom? You ever have to teach a child to say no? You have to ever have to teach a baby to say mine? Absolutely not, friends. Listen, think of it this way. God doesn't condone our sin, nor does He compromise His standard of perfection. God doesn't ignore our rebellion, nor does He relax His demand for our righteousness. But rather than dismiss our sin, He assumes our sin on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And incredibly sentences Himself to die for our sin. And so Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And when that happened, God's holiness is honored. Our sin is punished. And we are redeemed if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all it takes. It's a simple process. God did what we cannot do so we can become what we dare not dream. Perfect before a holy God. Amen. To worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah! What a Savior. Amen. Hallelujah! What a Savior. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Now I know